Oh, God is so good, is he not? Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn into Isaiah 53. And we're going to kind of pop through Isaiah 53 for a moment, but I just want to recap. We're in a new series. We're just starting, and it's about names. Last week, we went through, and God kind of dropped a few people's names on my heart as I'm just trying to help us understand and to expand the fact is that you matter to God. You were created. God said he formed you in your mother's womb with a purpose and a plan. The problem is sometimes we get deflated. Sometimes we get so deflated by our week, by the things of this world, that we lose sight. And then we begin to think, oh, well, God could do something through Kim. Well, God could do something in that through maybe Bob or Larry or Sue, but I don't know if he could do something through me. Well, I'm here to tell you that God can do something through a donkey. He spoke through a donkey, so he can use me. And if he can use me, he can use you. The question is not a matter of who you are, how tall you stand. It's just as simple as Samuel's willing heart and says, Lord, if you can use anyone, here I am. Here I am. Help us in our unbelief, Lord. Help us to declare once again, here I am. If you can use anyone, here I am. So why is the Word of God so important? Well, because the Word of God is really Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Revelation 19:13, it says, he is dressed, talking about Jesus, in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The Word reveals God our Father, reveals Jesus, it reveals Holy Spirit. It's not about the stories. It's all about the storyteller. There are over 900 plus names, attributes, characteristics, or titles to God. Names that are used to reveal who God is, and so we can get to know him a little more, we can understand him a little bit better. If you want to get to know God, get to know his word. Get to know his word. Yahweh. In the English, it's Jehovah. The name that God himself told us to call him. I am. We talked about the phrase I am from Exodus chapter 3. When God's name is shared later on in by Moses and Daniel in Deuteronomy 6:4 and Daniel 9:14, it's translated in the English Bibles as Lord, all capital letters, to distinguish his name and that from the attributes and titles like Adonai. And Adonai meant Lord and Master, or El Shaddai meaning God Almighty, or Elohim, meaning Lord, Creator, mighty and strong. The Israelites in that day in the Old Testament, and even now some of them, when it comes to reading the name Yahweh, and that they shy away and they'll start to use other phrases and other names when they speak it out. Because of the name of the Lord. And that the Bible says that we're to not fear in the sense of being afraid of him. But on the other side is that we're to fear the name of the Lord in reverence and awe, once again, that if God stopped thinking about you and me, we would stop breathing today. For he's the one that brings breath into our lungs. Remember we talked about 10 Commandments? I love the 10 Commandments because it helps give me a guidance on how I should walk in this world. Amen? I don't know about you, but you turn around and you just have no rules. People fight for that. Oh, if we had no rules, everything would be easier. And then all of a sudden, we get crazy drivers. I've been around them. And you're just like, no. The yellow line means stay on your side. Don't come over. You know, and the Ten Commandments are meant to help us to be able to be free and to move. But when it comes in that part of the Ten Commandments, one of them is don't use the Lord's name in vain. You know, when we make it about rules and regulations, what happens is we turn around and we're, oh man, I better not use his name. I better not say, oh, did I say it right? Did I not? That's not really what God is trying to say to us. Yes, he does say, don't use it wrong, but use my name every chance that you can. Declare it, shout it from the mountaintops that I'm alive and I'm well. Every time God does something in your life, every time you get up in the morning, you put your feet to the ground. Thank you, God, for another day. None of us are guaranteed another day. When all of a sudden my little daughter comes running into my room or jumps on top of me and gives me a, thank you, Lord, I can feel today. I'm alive. Are you alive today? Are you recognizing it's the Lord God Almighty who's given you that breath and that reason to live? He's not done with you yet. Strictly speaking, Yahweh is the only proper name for God. The significance of the name Yahweh is that it is confirming God's existence. Yes, that he's alive and he is well, but even more than that, it's confirming his presence. He's here. He's here right now. Are you distracted by cares of yesterday or something that happened today or worries about tomorrow? Or can you be still and know that he is God at any moment? Oh, don't worry. If you're having a hard time understanding he's here and you're struggling a bit, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. Jesus was right there with them, and they forgot. As a storm of life, and life gets rough for us, and then all of a sudden they woke Jesus. Don't you care? If you think you could, what do you mean? Do I care? Do I think it could? With God, anything's possible. And he speaks to the storm, and all of a sudden the physical storm obeys the voice of God, and it calms down. Oh, listen to me. God is so much wanting to reveal himself. He's just looking for you and me to invite him. To invite him into our circumstance. To invite him into our thought life. To invite him into our family. To invite him wherever we go. Yahweh is present. He's accessible. He's near to all those who call for deliverance. Psalms 107:13 says, Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the utter darkness and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. It doesn't matter what type of prison you think you're in from yesterday. It doesn't matter what lie, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter any of that, because your God so much loves you, he can break down bronze gates, he can cut through iron bars, and he can get to you. Amen? He is our rescuer, and that he cares for you, and you cannot run from him. Jonah tried, Pastor Phil tried, but I couldn't outrun him. God's love is so vast and so big. He's just revealing himself, and he's saying, hey, draw close to me. Draw close to me. Let go of those things and draw close to me. And that God is so close and accessible and near to all those that not only need deliverance but need forgiveness. Psalms 25:11 says, for the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though they are great. In the New Testament, it says, anyone. Can we just say it together? Anyone? Let's do it again. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from your trouble. Saved from your sin. Saved from the circumstances you're in. Because the great I am still is alive and well. Not only for forgiveness, but for guidance. Psalms 31:3 says, since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Well, may that be our prayer. Lead and guide me. I love the New Testament where it says in James chapter 1, he says, you know what? I don't even care about what you've done. I don't even care where you're at. I don't care who you are. If you want wisdom, you ask and I'll give it freely. God just loves to pour out his wisdom. He wants to guide. He wants to show and reveal that he's got good plans for us. But he's just waiting for your voice. How many times in the natural, if I take a step away for a moment, in the natural, when someone offends us or someone does something we don't quite like, what do? We sit back. I won't use this word because it's only for kids, but not adults. We pout, you know. Adults, we don't pout, but we sit back and they better come to me. They better make it right. You know, I'm not moving. I'm hanging. Listen to me. If you're hanging on things in unforgiveness, I'm gonna backtrack just a bit and forget I'm Phil for a sec, and I'm just gonna declare the word of God. If you are holding unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, then you are not partnering with God. Because unforgiveness has nothing to do with God's heart. Unforgiveness is a lie, and it's a deception of the devil himself to rob you of life. Do you know how many times in my life and how many times I've walked through with people where they're holding on and it's this big Mount Everest, this moment, and it's just, I can't believe it. And they're hanging on, and it's real. Don't get me wrong, it's real. But they've made it into this great big mountain. And so it's bigger than God. It's blocking out the sun. And so they're having a hard time seeing God clearly, hearing God clearly. And God says, if we can't forgive man whom we do see, we, in essence, shut down heaven from forgiving us. For what you sow, you will. That wasn't in my notes. That one's kind of for free. He wants us free. Amen? Don't let the enemy get you into a habit of being slow to forgive. But be quick to forgive. Be quick to cover an offense with love. Look for the good and allow that to rule in your heart. God wants to have a relationship with his people, so he's giving them permission to call him by his personal name rather than his formal titles. I don't know, we love titles in our world today, you know, doctor, reverend. We love all sorts of titles, mister. Oh, when I was called mister for the first time, oh, something did something inside of me, and that I can't remember who it was, but I was around 13, 14, and they called me mister, and I was like, oh, and something rose up inside of me. We love titles, and God's got lots of them to help us understand who he is and his credentials, but the end of the day is, not only is he all of that and more, he gives us permission to call him by his first name. And you know, and I know, and that when someone gives you permission to use their first name instead of calling them Mr. Smith or Mr. whatever, really what they're saying is they're opening their heart and say, come close. I'm going to let you come close. And that's what God is doing for us. He's saying, come close. You can use my first name. Come close. In Isaiah 53, we're going to look at really the redemptive names of God. We're going to take a moment and we're going to walk through a few of these titles and characteristics of just who God is and what he can do. The first one, and that as we come into, is Yahweh Rapha, meaning the Lord our healer. He can heal. Amen? And let me ask a quick question here. Just for the sake of argument here, I could put both my feet up and my legs, but if I do that, I'll look really funny, so I won't. But we'll just use by a raise of hand. Has anyone here ever physically been healed of anything? Just keep your hand up for a sec. Kate? All right. Kate, now put your hands down. Now, don't listen, I didn't ask someone to do that they're greater. Not at all. They just had a need you didn't have, right? And God revealed himself. But I say that to say is, God's still the same today. And he's wanting to do it. He's wanting to reveal himself. He's just looking for a few good men and a few good women that are willing to stand in the gap, willing to call out his name, willing to speak and to declare his name and his goodness, that with God, all things are possible. We serve a God. And then whose name is Yahweh, Rapha, the Lord, my healer, my Jehovah, who heals you both in body, mind, and soul. By preserving us and speaking life into us and renewing us and pardoning us and forgiving us. The Lord our healer. Isaiah 53:5. But when he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Exodus 15:26 says, he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Psalms 103:1-5 says, O David, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, listen to me. God loves and thinks so much about us. And as long as you can breathe, he's saying, hey, let me renew in you. Let me renew your strength. For when we are weak, he is. When we are weak, he is. Oh, listen, if you're feeling weak today, body, mind, soul, or spirit, just let him be stronger. Amen? He's better than a cane. Amen? And then he's better than all the things that we try to, crutches that we lean on. Chocolate. Oh, Jesus, I didn't mean to say that one out loud. The things we lean on to get comfort, and the things we lean on when things are stressful and we don't know what to do, we run to. He's better than all of that. And now let's look towards him. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need healing and miracles and words of wisdom and knowledge and discernment of spirits, and that to be active again within our lives. For they are the direct revelation of who Yahweh is, who God is. And all of a sudden, what happens when we allow Holy Spirit to move us and allow us to participate in a gift, then everyone around starts to say, wow, I know Phil. That wasn't Phil. That's got to be something else. But then all of a sudden, when I love on someone and I'm just doing things that I can do, what do they say usually? Well, that Phil's a pretty nice guy. Oh, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because we're sharing love everywhere. Amen? But I don't know about you. I'm trying to get out of the way a little more. And the only way I can see that I can get out of the way a little bit more is to keep loving, 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 and allow Holy Spirit to allow me to walk in some gifts and walk in some things that are beyond me, so that everyone would say, whoa, what on earth was that? What just happened there? And then I remember one time I was sitting in Mexico and we were talking with these pastors. I just finished. They asked me to do a radio station. It was like midnight. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. I had a team. But I said, okay, I'll do it. I went and did the thing. After we were done, we came out of the place, and I couldn't believe it. Like, it's midnight, and there was this lady that was still vending. She was trying to sell gum and different things. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. And she was coming down the street, and we just got talking. And then all of a sudden, God put a word in my heart. And I started to speak this word that I had no clue about. I just met this pastor and his wife who asked me to do this because I was with some other missionaries. And God put in my heart, and I began to speak something into their life. And as I began to speak into their life, she began to cry. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what did I just say? Did I say something wrong? She begins to cry. She turns to her husband and gives him a punch. And he just like, you know, and they're just like looking at each other. I'm oblivious to everything. Then through translation, it comes back, and they just said, were you in our bedroom last night? I said, no. You say, because we have never, ever shared what you just shared with us. We've never shared it with anyone else. How did you know? Well, what happens there? Phil becomes small. Because how on earth could I know? But then God becomes great and big. Oh, church, the gifts are not just for a certain person or this or that. They are for all of us so we can truly reveal who this Yahweh, who our God is. He is great and he is powerful. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. Yahweh Jireh, or if I use the English word, Jehovah Jireh. I don't know if you remember singing that song. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. It was the closest Jewish thing that we Christians could get to, right? You know, we used to sing it all the time and we tried to get going. Someone would get a tambourine going and we just like, it was just awesome. I love culture. But Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. He will provide. It reminds us to look back when Yahweh provided a ram. And that for Abraham, and that in place of Isaac, remember, he was ready to lift up because God said, take your son. I mean, these are radical things. Take your one and only son, whom I promised you would be the father of fathers to all sorts of people and nations. Take your only heir, take him up on the hill, and sacrifice him to me. I mean, I don't know about you, but this is pretty weird stuff. And all of a sudden, Abraham, I mean, the guy, he must have really knew God. I mean, like, he wasn't just a churchgoer. He must have really knew him. And I don't know about you, but in your life and mine, we better be more than just churchgoers. Because God asks us some things that sometimes they make us risk and step out a little bit more. Amen? Amen? If we really love him and know him, sometimes he doesn't always say things. And if we're trying to be comfortable, listen, my prayer is that we will never be comfortable at Rockcliff. Never. And if we get comfortable, oh God, do something. Right? I don't know about you, but from glory to glory, we're meant to grow. We're creatures of habit. We love, once we find something comfortable, we like to sit in it. But God, he's not like that. And he says, you're not meant to be like that, and I'm not meant to be like that. But from glory to glory, he challenges us out of where we are into where we need to be. Amen? You can say ouch or amen. Amen. The Lord will provide. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, talking about Jesus, and cause Jesus to suffer. And through the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, and that Jesus bore everything for you and for me. Genesis 22:14. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide, Yahweh Jireh. And to this day, the mountain of the Lord is called, he will provide. The revelation of the name Yahweh Jireh in Genesis 22:12-14 literally means the Lord who sees, or the Lord who sees to it. He sees everything. When you shed a tear because of the circumstances around you, because life is overwhelming, and that your God sees what's done in private. He knows your heart. And he says, Yahweh Jireh, I will provide. He hears our cries. Not only Yahweh Jireh, but there's Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Song of Solomon 2:7 says, let him lead me to the banqueting hall, and let his banner, Yahweh Nissi, let his banner over me be love. We must understand that the word banner is understood to be a rallying point. It's a rallying place that we would center around, and our rallying place is the foot of the cross. Our ground zero, whenever we make a mistake, any time that we get disfocused and we get caught up in things, our ground zero is reset at the foot of the cross. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we take communion. We ground zero. We come back to the cross and say, oh God, you know, I was getting a puffed up head thinking that I have arrived because, you know, I got a good job. I can tie my shoelaces. I can do this. I can do that. I feel like I can do it. I'm kind of like God myself. I can do this stuff. And then all of a sudden he awakens us. Oh God, forgive me. And we reset back at ground zero before the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I am in need of you today, just as much as I was in need of you yesterday. And God, every good thing that is in my life is from you and because of you. It's not because I was good. It's not because I was smart enough. Who gave me the smarts? He did. He is for you. He's not against you. He's got plans to give you a hope and a future. He's got plans to blow the mind of the people around you so that they would turn around and see you a little smaller and say, I know you. How could you do that? God, my Father, Yahweh, look at how good he is. Look at how good he is. Yahweh Ra, the Lord Shepherd. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Shalom, in its basic way, is used as a greeting of saying hello or goodbye. But peace, shalom, is much more than the absence of troubles. In the Hebrew, it has such bigger meaning. It means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, wealth, tranquility. Oh, when he declares over our life and that he is Yahweh Shalom, oh, he is saying he is everything that we need. Peace to every area of our life. Not just the spiritual things, but your physical areas. Not just while you're at church, but while you're at home, when you're driving down the road, whenever any fear or worry or anxiety or any of the lies and tricks of the enemy to try to come at you, you can begin to say, Yahweh Shalom, would you just come? Bring just peace and tranquility and prosperity and wholeness and completeness. Just bring it to me, Lord. Even if I don't understand what it all means, I know there's just something that's coming right now with fear or worry or anxiety that's trying to control this moment so that I won't see it clearly. But God, just come and bring that peace. Yahweh Shama, the Lord is ever present. He is there. Yahweh Tiskeni, the Lord, our righteousness. As much as it is humanly possible, we must get an accurate, clear picture of who the creator of the universe is and exactly what he's like. Oh, listen to me. I love Hollywood's movies, and don't get me wrong, I think, you know, great, but when they try to do the Bible, they warp it so much. But in today's generation that doesn't really know what the Bible says, oh, you know, during Noah, there was kind of these creatures and this blue stuff that kind of flew out and all sorts of things. Oh, I didn't know. Wow, that's kind of, you know, I don't quite understand. I don't know what that was. You know, to other different movies that they've tried to do, but that's how people around, they don't know any better. Unless you and I start to begin to share who God is, the true God. But if we don't have an accurate picture of who God is, it's going to be pretty hard for us to understand who we are and what we're called to do. Until you know God as he is, you'll never become all who he created you to be. Our hope is in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Each drop of his blood points to the surrender and death of self-will. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. When you find yourself saying a lot of I's in your sentences, just know that either the devil is trying to get you or you're already stuck in something. Because I must decrease. And when we start, I just can't believe, just know the devil is trying to trick you and hold you back. And that when we're starting to say the eyes and just break the eyes, no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. See, what you think about God shapes your whole relationship with him. In addition, what you believe God thinks about you determines how close you will grow towards him. May each thought of his name, his character, his attributes, the blood that he shed on the cross for you and me, bring us ever closer to our Savior, into a deeper union with him and point us back to him. And that because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to ask Christina to come back, and we're going to close by singing a song that I think we've sung before. It's called Good, Good Father. And I just really want to challenge us all, just as they're coming to get ready, before we sing this last song and we close for the day. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as a personal Savior, maybe you know about him and that, but or you know about him, but you've kind of drifted away. I just want to say to you, God's been trying to reveal himself to you all day. Today's a good day to surrender. Today's a good day to hop on board to the plans that he has for your life. If you're here today and you've even said from your own lips, God doesn't really need me anymore. There's no really place for me. And then, can we just allow the Lord to spring back inside of us? That he is not finished with you. The great I am is calling your name because he cares. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word right now, and I just thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. God, as we begin to declare in a few moments that you are a good, good Father, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that it would just move past our lips, past our minds, and come into our spirit and our heart once again, that we'll actually start to believe it, that you are all you said you are and so much more. Lord, so forgive us, Lord, when we hang on to maybe past experiences, good, bad, and ugly, that shape our worldview and shape our view of you instead of allowing your word, allowing you to be our ground zero and sitting at the cross and say, God, reveal yourself to me once again. Oh, bring me back to my first love. Bring me back to my first love. Oh, God, I just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are still speaking today, and we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.